When things don't go right, when things don't look right, that's the time to trust in God. When we need certain things to happen and they don't, that's when we need to trust God. There's a gentleman in the days of the Old West, the early West, and he was decided he was going to head west. And he came to the mighty Mississippi and realized there wasn't a bridge across it. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, it was in the wintertime, so there was a sheet of ice across the river. So he thought he would risk it, and so he began to gingerly work his way across the river, hands and knees. Took him a good while. About halfway across, he thought he heard singing. Sure enough, he paused, he stopped the singing. It got louder and louder and louder. So finally he kind of turned generally aside, and there comes this horse carrying a sled with a guy singing to the top of his lungs with a load of coal that he was taking across the river. He gets up, shaking his head. Impossible. Impossible. What do you think? Do you think today that you and I could see the impossible take place, can happen? If it's going to take place, what would it require of us? What would it require of you? What would it require of me? What role would you play in seeing the impossible take place? Now, I know we're in a church setting, and oftentimes we think, okay, the impossible in church. Well, it does apply to the church, but I'm thinking it applies more to us as individuals. What happens in our lives that seems to be impossible, or what could God do that we think is impossible? Now, it does again apply to the church, but it also applies, as I said, to individuals, because the church is not the structure that we're worshiping in. It's a building, but it's not the church. You are the church, I are the church, we are the church. So what? And if God's working through individuals, then it's going to eventually begin to work in the life of the church, because again, we are the church. So if we're going to see the impossible take place, what is our role? What is it that we need to do? Find your Bibles this morning. The book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. We've been here for a little while now. Next week we'll actually finish our study about the walk of faith. And today we're going to, in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 23. If you're using the Bible in the back of a pew in front of you, you can turn to page 175 in the second part of the book, because it begins a renumber of the New Testament, and we're in the New Testament with Hebrews. And then you can just find chapter 11 and verse 23. Now again, if we're going to see the impossible, the amazing, the miraculous take place in the life of us as a Christian or even as a church, what is it that we need to do? So we think in terms of this walk of faith that we've been studying about for several weeks now. Today we're going to investigate the life of the great servant leader, Moses. Moses, it seems that every turn of his life, pretty much from day one of his life, he began to see the impossible take place. From being placed in that basket floating in the Nile, to the Exodus event, he's the only man that saw the glow of God, the glory of God. What a huge honor. So he was seeing the impossible take place at every turn. Everything Moses experienced, the impossible accomplished, army completely annihilated, food from heaven, water from rocks. I mean, he saw the impossible take place because of the decisions he made about God and God's word to him. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, pick up in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called one of the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Each of us, every day, course of the week, we are faced with many, many decisions. Some of those decisions are very important decisions. Others, Maybe not so much. Some decisions we face are life-changing. Other decisions are, well, what are we going to have for lunch today? Well, that's already been decided for us today. It's already cooking as we speak now. So that one's easy. In decisions about life and about God, if they're going to let us see the invisible, these are decisions we're going to be making that are about faith and about following God. Go back to verse 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. All right, here's the first thing we need to understand about seeing the impossible take place. The impossible can be accomplished in our lives when we follow by faith the plan of God. When we find God's plan, that's when we know that the impossible can take place because God's going to give us things that only He can do and He's going to work in our lives. Now, a little background to Moses, just to kind of remind us of a few things. Remember Joseph? He was sent ahead of Israel. He was sent there. He was sold into slavery by his brothers, and they thought they were getting rid of him. Come to find out the next thing, you know, Joseph is feeding the world because God had given this dream to Pharaoh, and God used Joseph to interpret it. So now Joseph's running the country next to Pharaoh. Well, his family eventually get there with him in Egypt, and they stay. Even after Joseph dies, they stay and hang out, and the family grows and continues to grow. And Pharaoh became apprehensive about the growth the Israelites were doing there. So he puts them into forced labor, into slavery. And they still continue to grow. They still continue, the family, to get larger and larger. So he decides a new thing, that now he's going to kill the male children of every family to control the population growth that they're experiencing. Moses' parents, Aram and Jochebed, they're faced with an impossible task right now. Here they have this bouncing baby boy, and how do you hide a bouncing baby boy when there's people actually out looking for people or for children that size? You know, maybe they coo, they scream, they cry, they do all kinds of things, so they've got people. So how do you hide this child? Well, God gives them this plan because they're praying about it. And what a plan God gives them. Put a basket together and set him afloat in the Nile, and I'll take care of him. There's 1,000 variables that take place in that. 1,000 things could go wrong. They're risking the life of their child. They're risking their own lives because they're trying to save this child. They're also probably risking the lives of their fellow family people around them, because if they are found out they have this child or they've been keeping this secret, they all could be put to death. So this is a pretty impossible task. And again, there's all kinds of things could go wrong. Will this basket hold water? Will the crocodiles find the child before anybody else does? Will Pharaoh's daughter find this child? And if Pharaoh's daughter finds this child, will she see this a Hebrew child and have it immediately killed? Or will she keep it and take it into the palace? See, on and on we could go. Thousands of things could go wrong, but they're trusting in God. Now, let me remind you of a couple of things here that we've already learned in our study about the walk of faith. Faith is not for the timid. Living a life of faith is not for the timid. People who worry, they're going to struggle when it comes to issues of faith. People who have to have the whole plan put together so that they know the beginning and they know the end and they know the steps in the middle, if they don't know those things, they're really going to struggle when it comes to living by faith, because God doesn't give us all the steps. Oftentimes, God just gives us the next step. And He doesn't give us the whole picture. See, that's the unique thing about faith. There is always an unknown element when we're working in faith. So it's a part about finding God. Now, here's something else we need to know. This is from Paul's writings. He writes this to Timothy. He says, Timothy, Paul, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but He gave us a spirit of power and love and self-control. So God doesn't want us to live being timid, being afraid and worrying and having to know everything out up front. He says, trust in me, trust that I, and follow me, and I'll take care of you. Now, another thing that we've learned about faith is that walking in faith, there is always a sacrifice. When we walk by faith, there's something that's always going to be required of us. There's a sacrifice we're always going to have to make. And often the sacrifice is in direct proportion to the step of faith that we're taking. If we're taking a big step of faith, there may be a huge sacrifice that we have to give. If we're taking a small step of faith, a small sacrifice might have to be made. But here, get this. The sacrifice is always great to us because that's how we feel it. Because in faith, the steps of faith are sometimes relative as well. Because God may be asking me to take a huge step of faith, but you're looking and listening to me and says, really, that's only a small step of faith, but it feels like a large one to me, or vice versa. What I hear you saying you're taking, it may be a huge step to you, maybe a small step to me. But again, it's still the step of faith. And it's still a means of sacrifice that we're having to make. Aram and Jochebed, Moses' parents, they were following God's plan. They didn't try to change it. They didn't try to improve it. In fact, that's what's impossible. It's impossible trying to come up with a better plan than God already has. I mean, don't you think it's kind of arrogant if we think we can improve on God's plan? God, you know, I got what you're saying, God, but you know, if we really change this, tweak this a little here, there, you know, I understand what you're saying here, but let's change that and let's do this. This, it would make so much better. Do we really think we know more than God knows? Some of us, I think we do think we know more than God knows. We have to follow God. God gives the plan. And get this, when God gives the plan, it's to bring salvation to life. It's to bring salvation and preserve life. Jesus was given. Jesus comes to make the payment for our sin. He's the one that comes to give us life. He's the one that comes and He has died on the cross and resurrected, showing that He has the power over sin, power over death. He's the only one that comes to give life. And He even said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So do we really think there are other ways to God? Do we really think there's 1,000 ways to get to God? Or do we really think there are many ways that we can live our life apart from God? See, we're presuming an awful lot. And that's why the impossible doesn't happen in our lives. So we have to walk in faith. The impossible is accomplished when we follow by faith God's plan, the plan of God. Go back to verse 24. Let's pick up another thought here. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Get this. The impossible is accomplished when I courageously live before God. The impossible in my life is accomplished when I step out in faith and live courageously before God. Now, through these next few verses, there are four things that Moses basically says no to from the Egyptians and chooses to courageously walk by faith with God. Moses, his life has been saved. He was taken in the Pharaoh's house. In fact, God worked it out. So Moses' own mother was there in the formative years of Moses' life. So she's teaching him about God, and the Egyptians are teaching him about the Egyptian way of life. And this is going to come into very good play when God sends Moses back to Egypt to lead the people out at the Exodus events. So Moses' mom was part of all his growing up. Moses, notice, he gave up his position with the Egyptians. About the age of 40, Moses came to a time of decision he had to make. Would he choose the way of the life of the Egyptians, or would he choose this calling to his life of God that was God calling him? Would he choose to live in the Egyptian court, or would he choose to live with his people? He had to decide, would he be loyal to the Egyptians or would he be loyal to God? Would he be loyal and support the lifestyle that God was calling him to, or would he support the lifestyle that he grew up knowing under the Egyptians? Moses remained faithful. He said, what do we read? He chose not to be called the Pharaoh's daughter or Pharaoh's daughter's son any longer. He remained faithful. Now, that could have sent him in the exile alone, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh. It could have put him into prison. It could have made him a slave. Could have had him executed. The call of God on Moses' life to be faithful to God was more important to anything in Moses' life. Anything that the Egyptians had to offer. I mean, could you imagine what his Egyptian friends were saying to him? Moses, you've lost your mind. See, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. To the Egyptian, Moses was sacrificing everything for nothing. But in Moses' mind, he was sacrificing nothing to gain everything. Because he was walking where God wanted him to walk. He was doing what God wanted him to do. Verse 25, he gave up the pleasures of what the Egyptians had to offer. Now, what pleasures did Moses give up? Well, it's the same ones we face today. Wealth, fame, power, control, all those things. Moses, can't you still be a Hebrew and still maintain and live in the palace and do all those things? Wouldn't it be better to work on the inside and work with Pharaoh and try to change things? They just didn't get it. They didn't understand God's call upon his life. In fact, if you read on into the New Testament in Acts chapter 7, the Israelites, they didn't even understand why Moses did this. They didn't get it either. Moses was following God's direction. See, the impossible is accomplished when we follow God's plan. The impossible is accomplished when we live courageously before God. Now get this. Faith leads me to make decisions based upon my relationship with God. I'm not basing my decisions about life on my circumstances. I'm not basing decisions about life on people around me or my friends. I'm basing the decisions of life on my relationship with God, because that's where my faith, that's where my trust rests, and that's where God's going to see me through. That's how I'm going to survive in life. That's how I'm going to have life. So every decision I make is a spiritual decision. And it comes by following God. In fact, you know, you can tell how mature believers are by the decisions they make. Because the more mature you are as a believer, the more decisions you make spiritually, the more decisions you make in the spiritual realm, the more decisions you'll make by faith in God, the more decisions you make will be from the wisdom of God and not of the world, not of your circumstances, not of your own preferences, not of what you want. They'll be based upon what God has said and what God's calling us to do. Verse 26, it says, Moses, he sacrificed his possessions. Now, there's a few words we need to pay pretty close attention to through this. Because God was calling Moses to a different standard of living. He could have stayed in the standard of living with the Egyptians, but God was calling him to a standard of living that God was going to lay out for him. Today, verses, do we live by the culture of what surrounds us, or do we live by the Christian spiritual culture that God's calling us to? As believers, that's the standard of living God's calling Moses to contemplate. So notice, it says that he considered. That word considered means that he thought things through carefully. So Moses carefully thought things through. Moses knew the decision he was making. He was making a realistic decision. It was one that he had thought about. It was one that he had prayed about. It was one that he had researched. He knew what he was doing. Faith, get this, faith involves our intellect. Oftentimes we think, no, it doesn't. Faith will sometimes have us do things that are humanly, goes against human reasoning. And yes, at times it would probably appear that that's what's taking place. However, what we must know and understand is that we're relying upon God. We're resting our life upon God, not upon our culture. What does this culture have to offer us versus what God has to offer us? So that's the decision Moses was making. Do I follow God and take what he's offering me, or do I stay and live in the culture that the Egyptians have and what they offer me? But frankly, in that type of decision, God wins every time. Every single time. The world, our culture, has nothing that it can offer us more important than the things that God offers us. Now, that doesn't always mean it's going to affect us and give us those warm, fuzzy feelings. Because notice the next word, reproach. It means to carry an insult. It means to carry suffering. So the decision Moses was making here was he was going to have to endure some hardship. That's a tough decision to make, isn't it? When you know the right decision to make is going to set you up and you're going to get some repercussions from it, that's a tough decision to make. When leaders, Moses the leader, when he made decisions to lead and to do as God called him to do, opposition automatically came at times. But he knew it was the right thing to do. Sometimes doing what is right puts us at odds with others. And it certainly will with our culture. It did with Moses, with the Egyptian culture. See, Faith doesn't mean that we'll have a troubled-free life. It just knows, it was just that we know how we're going to get through it and that we're going to survive it. Many believe that once I come to faith, once I follow God in faith, nothing bad's ever going to happen. Yeah, tell me how that works for you. And when that first thing happens and the next thing happens, what are you doing with your faith then? See, I know the blessings will come and I know God wants to bless us, but blessings come because we are living and we're operating by faith. And when we're living and operating in faith, remember, there's always something unknown and there's always a sacrifice that takes place. That's when the blessings of God are seen. So he considered that he lived under reproach. And notice he's looking, which means there was an intense focus in his life. His attention was fixed on the reward. His attention was fixed on the promise, on the future of God. Now, Moses, he had no clue everything God was going to do with him. In fact, he knew God was going to use him as a leader. He knew God was going to use him to impact his people. He just didn't know how. And he tried to do it himself one time. He saw an Egyptian beating an Israeli Hebrew. He stops him. And before the incident is over, Moses has killed the Egyptian. Now he's a murderer. He's a fugitive. He leaves Egypt because Pharaoh wants him dead. Those next 40 years, he lives in the desert region. God's preparing him to send him back. That's what it means in verse 27. It says, when Moses sacrificed himself and he didn't live in fear because God was sending him back. The statutes of limitation hadn't run out. Pharaoh still wanted him dead. And Moses didn't know if Pharaoh was going to kill him as soon as he got into town or not. But he was doing what God called him to do. See, Moses' life meant less now, and what meant most was completely trusting God. And that's when he was going to see an impossible take place. Pharaoh didn't have him killed. In fact, again, we're going to see he's going to lead them out. He's going to lead the people out. It's amazing. Moses' parents risked themselves to save Moses. Moses now is risking himself to save his family. Kind of cool how that worked out, isn't it? Fear in our life is a great pressure to overcome. Fear of the unknown weighs down heavy upon us. Fear of what people may think or what people may do. Have you ever stopped to think about the decisions you make and how often you make a decision based upon what you think somebody else is thinking about you or what you think somebody else might do because you're going to do this? Most of the time, they're not even thinking about you. And the other time, they could care less what you're doing most of the time. But we make many decisions based upon what we think others are thinking about us. Here's how we should make decisions. We need to make decisions based upon what God knows and what God's telling us. And not worry about what people may think about us. It's what God knows about us and what God's leading us. See, fear or faith will conquer fear. When we walk in faith, the more we walk in faith, the closer we get to God, the more we walk with God, fear gets pushed aside because we see God working. And God doing what only God can do. Jump over to verse 28 now. It says, by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer, the firstborn, might not touch them. What are we catching here? The impossible is accomplished when we live by the provisions God makes. We live solely by the provisions that God gives to us. The Passover. It was the last of the 10 plagues that God used to get Pharaoh to let the Israelites go to get rid of them. That night, this plague affected Israel as much as it affected the Egyptians. All the other plagues, most of them only affected the Egyptians. This one affected everybody. And God gave some pretty precise instructions. Here's the meal that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to clean your house up. You're supposed to eat standing up. Here's a particular meal you're supposed to eat. You're supposed to eat a lamb. And the blood of that lamb was supposed to be painted over the doorpost. Because this night, the angel of death is coming, and if he doesn't see the lamb's blood on your doorpost, the firstborn in your household is going to die. So the firstborn of all the Egyptians died, and some Israelites' firstborn died as well because they didn't follow through with what God told them to do. Trust and believe in God's word, and he'll take care of you. Here's kind of a side note. When God gives instructions, When God gives direction, it's not up for debate. And if we don't follow God's instructions and we don't follow God's direction, there are severe consequences for not doing so. What was the consequences if they didn't follow God's instructions that night? The firstborn of everybody's household was going to die. Only those that followed the instructions from God, only those that followed those directions, did they survive? Did they live? Jesus has been given as our Passover lamb. It's because of His blood that He shed on the cross that we have the ability to be forgiven of our sins and have life, eternal life with God. And it's our belief and our faith that we place in Him and in that act that Jesus did there and in the resurrection that brings us life. And if we don't believe, the consequences are severe. And for those of us who believe, if we don't pass the information along, the consequences are just as severe for those that don't believe. Verse 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, they were drowned. The impossible is accomplished when I live by the promises of God. The impossible is accomplished when I live by the promises God gives me. Now, what were the promises here? God would take care of them. God would fight for them. God was going to give them a land. He was going to give them a great land. God would lead them. God would bless their life. God would take care of them. No matter what happened, no matter what came their way, God was going to take care of them. In their leaving, the very first day, the very first obstacle they face when they get to the Red Sea, what happens? They believe God? No, they don't. They think Moses and Pharaoh has conspired against them and have taken them out in the desert to kill them. Now get this. They've just witnessed all those 10 plagues. Just think, what happened the night before and what they experienced, and now they're not trusting God's going to take care of them now? After all they've experienced, all they've seen God do for them to get them released? You got to see this. Jump over into Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, pick up in verse 10. Go find that. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 14. This is Moses and the Israelites and Pharaoh's armies pursuing them, and they're at the Red Sea. Notice what happens here. Exodus chapter 10 or 14 and verse 10. It said, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, it's because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in this wilderness? What have you done to us to bring us out of Egypt? Is it not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would be far better for us to serve the Egyptians to die out here in the wilderness. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you will have only to be silent. Now get this. Moses, his life is being threatened. The Israelites, the Hebrews, they're angry at him. They're angry with God. And Moses is encouraging him. Wait and see what God's going to do. God's going to take care of us just like He promised. Moses didn't know what God was going to do, though. Read verse 15 and 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. Now, if Moses knew what God was going to do, why did God have to tell him to get his staff out and spread it across the sea? See, Moses was telling him, people, it's okay. God's going to take care of us. God's going to fight for us. He's living in faith with God and trying to pass that on to the other folks as well. Says, God's going to do this. And then he's praying, God, hurry up. I don't know what you're going to do. But he knew God had promised him He was going to lead them to the promised land. He didn't know how He was going to do it. He just knew it was going to happen. And he was trusting in God. You know the story. The Red Sea parted. Israel, they marched over on dry ground. The Egyptians, we can do this too, but they weren't trusting in God. And the sea swallowed them. And they never had to worry about the Egyptians ever again. Just like Moses told them. God had promised them. Now this may be the biggest thing of faith. Faith takes God's word. Faith takes it as takes God's word. It's fact. It's done. When God says it, it's finished. It doesn't matter if I've experienced it yet or not. It doesn't matter if I've seen all the promises fulfilled or not. I know it will because that's the faith I have in God, and God is always, always faithful to us. So here's the big question. What step of faith is God asking you to take this morning, right now? Does it seem impossible? What is it that you can't see? And God's saying, trust me with it. Sure, it may not be easy, but here's the first step you need to take. What sacrifice is He asking you to give up so that you can see the impossible take place? What's the element of the unknown that you don't see, that you don't know, but God's saying, trust me with it? Are you at the Red Sea now? Are you not seeing how God's going to part the waters? Maybe He's going to have you crawl on your hands and knees across the frozen river. What are you going to trust God to do? I want you to pray with me. God, I thank You so much for Moses' life. I thank You that You use him to teach us so much about who You are and how You work. He certainly was a great servant leader. So God, I pray that over these next few moments, those of us You're asking to trust You, those of us You're asking to take the next step of faith, God, remind us of Moses. At every turn, he saw impossible things take place because he and even his parents were trusting You. And God, we can do the same. We can see the impossible happen. God, we can see lives change. We can see our life change. Because we're following and we're trusting You. So God, over these next few moments while we sing, the step of faith that we need to take, God, encourage us. Increase our faith that we can follow You now, wherever and whatever You may be asking. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together and you come as God's calling you. Take this.